said that though the harvest indeed is abundant, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, very fittingly, the Mission Sunday, we are observing the feast of the great missionary, St. Luke the Evangelist. So I want to reflect upon who St. Luke is, help you to become more aware of this great saint. As you can see, we're not offering the Mass of the Sunday because the Feast of St. Luke has a higher liturgical rank, so the Sunday is only commemorated. We know that the Church is missionary by its very nature because Jesus commanded his apostles, we read this shortly before he ascended into heaven, he said to them, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And so there it is. The Church, therefore, absolutely is and must be missionary until the end of time. And I'm reminded of what that word Catholic means. It comes from the Greek, it's also in the Latin, it means universal. And this has been true of the Catholic Church from the earliest centuries. There were Catholics in every country, or if they weren't there yet, the missionaries went out. And so over the course of history, the gospel has been preached in every nation. There's still people that don't know about the gospel. And when you think of the ruination caused by Vatican II and the loss of the traditional Catholic faith throughout the world, you can say the whole world is again a missionary land. Traditional Catholics are in the minority, a small minority. But the mission of the Church never changes. Keep spreading the gospel, not the false gospel, the true gospel. So let's begin, as I said, reflect upon St. Luke. And I wanted to share with you some points I'd like to read to you. St. Luke is the third evangelist. He was a native of Antioch, a pagan by birth, a physician, and according to a tradition, not older than the 6th century, he was also a painter. So this is what St. Luke brought to the table, so to speak. He converted to Christianity, and I believe he was one of the 72 disciples that our Lord references in today's gospel. But he was a doctor. He also was an artist. And when we read his gospel, we see the point of view of a physician. One example that really stands out is when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Olives. Remember, St. Peter had brought two swords along, and seeing our Lord being attacked, where his enemies now wanted to take him away, St. Peter starts to flail around with his sword, and he literally cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest, whose name is Malchus. And Jesus tells him, no, put up thy sword. It is now the hour. I must go suffer and die. But St. Luke, the doctor, tells us a point we don't read elsewhere. He healed Malchus. Our Lord miraculously reattached the ear to that man. Worked a miracle. And now the man's ear was restored and sound. That's very important to a physician. They're all about healing the body. So again, we read that from St. Luke. Speaking of him as an artist, I've heard it said, he became a Christian. Later, he worked with St. Paul. Together, they traveled from Troas to Philippi on the second missionary journey. On the third journey, he met St. Paul at Philippi and accompanied him to Jerusalem. Apparently, Luke remained with Paul until the latter's death. He was with the apostle during the imprisonment of Caesarea, went to Rome with him, and was also with him during the second imprisonment at Rome. So St. Paul refers to him, and he doesn't mention his name in this particular excerpt we just heard from 2 Corinthians, but he says, we have sent with him the brother whose services to the gospel are praised in all the churches. That's St. Luke he's talking about. So St. Luke, very, very highly regarded, indeed a great saint, not one of the apostles, but he was called to write that third gospel. Also, we find that he doesn't identify himself. He doesn't say, I, Luke. I think he did that out of humility. He not only wrote the third gospel, he also wrote the Acts of the Apostles. And it's a beautiful, elegant kind of Greek. He was an educated man. So we have St. Luke to thank for being the instrument of God. Thank God, most of all, of course, but for giving us this beautiful gospel. Now, there's more things we can say about this gospel. Oh, before I tell you about that, let me read just a little bit more. He is said to have preached the gospel in Achaia, in Italy, Gaul, Dalmatia, Macedonia, or Constantinople, and Thrace, or Upper Egypt. Now, he may not have been in all of those places, but there are reports of the claims. Anyway, so he certainly was that missionary going out to spread the good news of the gospel. That's what gospel means. It means good news. Why is this such great news? Because it tells us about a God who so loved us that he became man and paid the price for our sins on the cross. And gave us a church to belong to, the sacraments. We're not condemned to an eternity of doom and punishment. We'll end up there if we don't cooperate with God's grace. But this is the good news of the gospel. And that's what the apostles and disciples and so many even gave their lives for, in order to give that good news, the gospel, to others. We also believe that he is a martyr, which is why the vestments of today are red in color, because again, he was faithful to our Lord, even unto death, in martyrdom. Let's go back to this wonderful gospel that he wrote. His gospel has been called the gospel of the Savior because it stresses the idea of salvation. Christ came to save us from our sins, to give us the means that we need to get to heaven. It's also been called the Gospel of Mary, for the first two chapters and many subsequent details could have been ascertained only from the Mother of God. So, the Gospel of St. Luke is the most Marian of the four Gospels. And isn't it wonderful that it happens during the month of Our Lady, the month of the Rosary? And we read, of course, about the Annunciation. Again, Our Lady told St. Luke the details. She told him what the angel said to her, just as a quick review. Three most powerful things in the very first sentence. Hail, full of grace. Grace to the fullest capacity. That's what St. Luke meant in that long Greek word that he used. The Lord is with thee. That's a very powerful thing to say. You know, during the Mass, the priest says a few times, Dominus vobiscum. And that that's straight from the Old Testament too, is a prayer or a wish made. May the Lord be with you. That's what the priest is literally saying to you. The server answers, servers answer on your behalf, and also with thee, or with thy spirit. But the angel didn't have to say, may the Lord be with thee. The Lord is with thee. That's how specially united she was to God, even before she became his mother. And then the angel also said in the third thing, that same first sentence, blessed art thou among women. So again, this beautiful Marian gospel, it tells us these details about Our Lady. Our Lady is mentioned in the other gospels, of course, and of course you think of St. John, St. John's gospel. So St. John says that he was standing there at the foot of the cross with Our Lady, and Jesus entrusted her to him and him to her, and he represented all of us. So obviously references to Our Lady in other gospels too, but not so much as it seems as the Gospel of Luke. It's also been called the Gospel of the Holy Women, for it contains many beautiful, brief, biographic details of women. It's also been called the Gospel of Disciples. It's also been called the Gospel of Prayer, for it contains the record of seven occasions whereon Christ prayed. And has, and then let me just comment on that. He tells us we must pray. He gives our Lord's own example of prayer. Again, isn't this fitting during the month of the Holy Rosary when we are exhorted to pray the Our Father, the Hail Marys, the Glory Bees? St. Luke would very much be in favor of the Rosary because he told us how Christ prayed. He exhorted us to prayer. May I challenge all of you to a resolution that you will make each rosary a little better than the last one you prayed, so that you will be growing in your fervor and devotion to this most powerful sacramental. Again, what did St. Dominic say? Through the rosary, the scapular, the one day the world will be saved. And this, when we think of that, the sacraments, the validity of sacraments being destroyed in the Vatican II Church, the Holy Eucharist, ordination to the priesthood, confirmation, extreme unction, all the more people need the graces of the rosary and the scapular. Have a supply of rosaries and scapulars that you will give out. This is the purpose of the rosary and scapular gift. Sure, it's quite evident. Make sure you have them, share them with others. Don't give them out unless you know they're going to be used properly. You don't want to just put them everywhere willy-nilly and then God alone knows what will happen. Those are blessed sacramentals, and or they should be blessed. Get them blessed. But you want to make sure that they're used properly. And again, you, by doing that, you will be partaking in the missionary spirit of the church. Right now, the whole world, as I said earlier, is a mission field. So our work is really cut out for us. Now, one other quick point to make about St. Luke's Gospel. We have the Magnificat by Our Lady, the Benedictus by Zachary, and the New Dimittis of Simeon, the three great canticles, and the greatest of all is Our Lady's praise of God. Again, we have that from St. Luke's Gospel. Primarily, priests and religious are called to be missionaries. Now, many religious are missionaries within their cloister. St. Therese of Lisieux, she never left her convent, and yet she's the patroness of missions, because she lived her life to bring down the graces given by missionaries. You see how that works. So religious are primarily called to the mission work, and priests, bishops, you know, obviously. But as laity, as I was saying, you can participate, you need to participate in the missionary activity of the church. Distributing rosaries and scapulars and teaching people how to pray. Praying for the missions. Being a good example. These are things that St. Luke did. I'm reminded of a statement by St. John Chrysostom about the power, the missionary power of good example. There would be no need for sermons if our lives were shining. There would be no need for words if we bore witness with our deeds. There would be no more pagans if we were true Christians. If we're going to act like the worldlings, talk like them, react like them, we're failing the missionary calling of the church. We have to be that shining example. Remember, actions speak louder than words. And that's how you as laity can participate absolutely in this calling of the church. Offering up your sacrifices. As we read in the Collect of today, St. Luke, he continually bore in his body the mortification of the cross. So offering up our suffering, our crosses, even taking penances upon ourselves, that is also contributing to the salvation of souls. Letter writing. St. Luke wrote these two wonderful letters, the Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles. Do we not also write letters? Do we not also send out emails? Texts even. No, couldn't we, at least at times, put out something that's spiritual to inspire and uplift people? Something we certainly can do. I want to end with an exhortation to our young people. Some of you are still trying to figure out what your calling is, what your vocation in life is. But be assured that God calls you young men to the priesthood, or young men and young ladies to be brothers and sisters, religious. He is giving you a privilege and truly a most great gift to work directly for God and for the salvation of souls. Yes, there's real sacrifices to be made, and so many young persons think, oh, I can never do it. Do those sacrifices that priests and nuns and brothers have to do. But let's be reminded of that paradox, that the more we give, the more we receive. If we only give a little, we receive a little. The more we give, the more we receive. And we can see that in the apostles, how much God, our Lord, gave to them. He promised them even the hundredfold in this life. So this is why we pray our vocations prayer every Sunday. Because the harvest is very abundant. We need more laborers. In a sense, there will never be enough priests, never enough religious. And, it is a calling, especially for the priesthood. You can't just say, I'm going to do it just because I chose it. No, it's a calling. But if you have that calling, rejoice in it, for God is giving you a most great gift. Let us pray that our young people be inspired to give their lives to God, to serve Him in that